Our guest at the cafe this morning is the head of the Physics and Astronomy Department at A&M Commerce, Dr. Kent Montgomery.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Well, the first week of April is International Dark Sky Week. I'd never heard of that before, but our timing here is very good.
Yes, oh yeah. Astronomers are always fighting for dark skies nowadays with so many lights. It's hard to find a spot where you can see the stars well.
Yeah. Does make a difference when you're out in the country, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, we're better here because we're, you know, about 70, 80 miles from Dallas, so we get a little darker skies, but you still got to get a little bit further out from the city.
Well, we do. We live 6 or 7 miles out, and it on a dark night, you can see a lot.
Yeah.
Anyway, first week of April is International Dark Sky Week. There are some things worth mentioning. In April, and not so much this particular week, but April 15th, Venus and Mercury will be visible just above the horizon I can't read my own writing here. Is that to the east?
Yes, you would see it in the morning just before sunrise. And Mercury is always close to the horizon, so you got to catch it with an hour to an hour of sunrise time.
So it's to the east, just above the horizon. That's Monday, the early morning hours, Monday, April 15th. Is it unusual to see them together?
Yeah, well, they move around a lot, you know.
Right.
To see them real close in the sky doesn't happen all that often. Yes.
Okay, so April 15th is a date to mark. And then April 22nd to the 23rd, and I presume that's Monday night into Tuesday morning, the Lyrid meteor shower. You say this is not going to be, as meteor showers go, not one of the really big ones.
Well, it's not a good one this year. It's actually a pretty good meteor shower, but this year the full moon's going to be right around then. I think the full moon's the 19th, and so the moon washes it out. It's hard to see many of the meteors, so it's a tough year for it. Next year, the moon won't be in quite the same position.
I see. 20 meteors per hour with the Lyrid meteor shower, but the article I read say if you face away from the full moon, you might be able to see a little bit better.
Yeah, definitely. That's the only shot you're going to have, pretty much. Yeah, the moon is so bright, it wipes out most of them close to it.
Only way to do it. I guess binoculars would help with all of this?
With the planets, for sure. Not with the meteors, because you don't know where they're going to be.
Right.
But
right.
For the planets, yes, definitely. You'll see that Venus has a little phases. It looks like a tiny moon, which is kind of fun to see.
Really? So that, again, is Monday, early Monday, April 15th. And then a better opportunity for a meteor shower, May 6th and 7th, the Eta Aquarids meteor showers.
Yes, that's a better one. It's not quite as many per hour, usually on the 10 to 15 per hour, but it's a better position because the moon's not in the way. The challenge is the what we call the radiant in Aquarius doesn't rise till about 4 in the morning. So your best bet is about 4 in the morning until sunrise on that night.
Well, there's something about, you know, planning to get up early at that time of day, if you don't do it every day as I do most days, that might make it kind of exciting. But we're talking with Dr. Kent Montgomery, who is head of physics and astronomy at A&M Commerce, and is an astronomer and about astronomy. So there was an article also, another one, about the coming of spring, and it's time to get back outside, and it's not cold so much, and you can get outside and study the sky at night. And this was a pretty good article about orienting yourself to the landmarks in the sky. For example, the Big Dipper.
Yes, this is a really good time to see the Big Dipper. It's going to be really high in the northern sky. And once you find the Big Dipper, you can easily find a couple other things. You take the end stars, which we call the pointer stars. They point right to the North Star. But the handle has a curve in it, and we follow that curve, or we say that arc, and it points to another star called Arcturus, very bright star. One of the brighter stars in the sky, and you just follow her down and you'll see Arcturus, and if you keep going on that same line, you run into a star called Spica, which is in the constellation of Virgo. And those together make a nice, easy pattern to see across the sky, and you've gone from the northern sky all the way to the southern sky.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the main spring constellations.
So when you say the end stars in the Big Dipper, you're talking about the stars on the far end of what we would call the bowl.
The bowl. It'd be the far side of the bowl. Those are the ones that point to the North Star, and then the handle points to Arcturus.
I see. All right. So that's to the north. And they, in this article, also talk about something called the Spring Triangle, which is primarily to the south.
Yeah. And the Spring Triangle actually consists of Arcturus, the star I talked about, Spica, and another star called Denebola, which is the tail of Leo the Lion.
Uh-huh. And as you described it a moment ago, so from the Big Dipper, it could lead you all the way around to the south.
It does, yes.
And you would
figure out the sky.
And then you would see the Spring Triangle. There's something called the Northern Cross in the north sky, too.
Right, and that's more of a summer constellation, but it'll start coming up late spring. You'll see it in the northeast. It's also known as Cygnus the Swan, but it has a very distinct cross shape right in the middle of the Milky Way, easy to find.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll make a link to the article here, and you can read about that more carefully. You said that all of this changes somewhat with the seasons.
Yeah, we look in the sky, and we have our different seasons of constellations, and we're just moving from the winter constellations into the spring. The winter constellations are still there, low in the west as the sun sets, but they will fade away within the next couple months, and we'll have the spring ones coming up.
Mm-hmm. But the Big Dipper is always to the north.
It's always to the north, yes. It's not just, depends on what time of year, whether it's in the northeast, northwest, or straight north. Right now, it's in the high in the north, and the spring's the best time to see the Big Dipper.
And now's a good time. All right, we're almost out of time, and you're no longer the head of the planetary here, but you still keep up with what's going on, and what's the current show?
We got two shows. We got a children's show called Perfect Little Planet, which is a lot of fun, learning about our solar system, and then we got one called Mars 1001, which talks about the first human exploration, if it occurs, to Mars.
Which would take over 1,000 days.
About 1,001 days, which is where the name comes from, yes.
And those are on Friday night?
Friday nights at 7 and 8 o'clock every Friday night. Check out our website to make sure we change shows every month or so.
Mm-hmm. Good. Kent, thanks for having a cup of coffee with us again.
Thank you.
Dr. Kent Montgomery, head of physics and astronomy at A&M Commerce. You're starting the day with Morning Edition on your station, 88.9 KETR.